In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, August 7th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Praise God, another answer to prayer from Sudan. The American Center for Law and Justice announced that pastors Michael Ruat and Peter Reith have been released after a harrowing court trial in Khartoum. This comes after a major international outcry that included a petition of 220,000 signatures. The men were facing the death penalty for their Christian faith. This follows the release of Miriam Ibrahim, who faced a similar trial in Khartoum, Sudan last year. Fox News reports that China's Zhejiang province has ordered crosses to be removed from 4,000 churches over a two-month period. Socio-political experts suggest that this move may do more harm than good to the stability of the country, since Christians now outnumber the membership of the Communist Party in China. Some churches, in defiance, have replaced the crosses after the forcible removal. The real need, however, is the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. An Al-Qaeda leader in Yemen is calling for more terrorist attacks on U.S. soil. According to WorldNet Daily, Ibrahim al-Asiri is the leading bomb maker with Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula. The jury in the Colorado Theater Massacre trial has twice cleared the way for the death penalty for perpetrator James Holmes. The defense has been unable to argue for the mental illness exemption, despite testimony that Holmes was addicted to the computer game Warcraft and took psychotropic drugs. The jury is in final deliberations today on whether Holmes will die by lethal injection. The U.S. Coast Guard is setting records on cocaine seizures. On July 18th, they captured a semi-submersible vessel carrying 12,000 pounds, valued at $180 million. In the last 3 months, they have seized more than 33,000 pounds of cocaine. The Republican-led executive committee in New Hampshire is withholding $650,000 of state support for Planned Parenthood. That makes for two states, including Louisiana, that have defunded the abortion provider, while 12 states have announced their own investigations of the baby organ trafficking. Also, investigators in Florida have cited Planned Parenthood clinics on violations relating to performing second trimester abortions without a license and failing to keep logs for the disposal of fetal remains. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Genesis 6:11-13. Food stamp expenditures have exploded by 37% in just 5 years, according to Fox News. This comes after 44 out of 50 states have eased work requirements for able-bodied men and women. Economists have pointed out that these policies have increased welfare dependency and prevent economic recovery in the nation. Exodus 23:2-3 says, "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his cause." Christian News reports that a Hillsong New York City choir leader announced his homosexual engagement to another member of the same choir. The Hillsong organization has clarified that homosexuals are welcome in the church, but they are not cleared for leadership at this point. The pastor does not like preaching about moral debates because he says, quote, "Jesus very rarely talked about morality," unquote. But Jesus answered and said unto them in Luke 5:32, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." By God's providence, the bubonic plague is back in Colorado with the second death reported this year. This time, an adult in a pueblo contracted the disease. A dead prairie dog in western Pueblo County has been identified with the bacterium. The World View spoke to public health official Sarah Joseph on the means of prevention.
Well, I can speak on behalf of Pueblo County, and Pueblo County is looking to let people know the risk of exposure to plague through the bite of a flea. And public health in Pueblo wants everyone to know the importance of protecting themselves and their pets from the exposure of fleas that carry plague. Very important when you're outdoors to wear insect repellent that has DEET.
Another galaxy in God's vast universe was discovered by scientists at Caltech. It's 4 times the size of the Milky Way and 10 billion light years away. Praise God for his spectacular, immense creation. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, August 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of 5, raising our kids out here in the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization.
Hey.
And Bill Jackson, studio with us today.
That's right.
Thanks, Bill.
We're a generation unto ourselves here.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Broadcasting from deep in the woods of Elbert County, Colorado.
Yeah, I thought you were on the plains, but you're in the woods.
I'm in the woods, yeah. Yeah. I'm up on one of those little knolls that collects all the trees, north side of the Black Forest, out here on the eastern plains of Colorado.
So you have turrets on your house so you can see anybody who's approaching.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, my friends, today, good news for you. It turns out that the Gen 2 survey has yielded us some interesting results. In fact, we just reported some of the results at a homeschool leadership conference back east. Bill Jack was there too. I was shocked to see you there, Bill.
I was shocked to see me there too.
This deja vu is like, wait a minute, you're normally in the studio. Yeah. Now you're out in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Yeah. No, it was Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I'm sorry, forgot where we were.
You know why? Because when you fly in, you land in the Cincinnati Regional Airport, which is in Kentucky.
It all messes me up.
Yeah, me too.
Are we Ohio or Kentucky or Pennsylvania? We're somewhere.
And if you drive around the city of Cincinnati on the loop, you go through Indiana, you hit Kentucky, and you hit Ohio. You hit 3 states on that interstate around Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to figure that stuff out.
Somebody's geographically challenged out there, I'm telling you.
Live out here in the West where, you know, they're large states. They go on for about 1,000 miles.
Right.
Okay. Well, we talked a little bit about the Gen 2 survey, and I want to give y'all one statistic that I think is encouraging.
You
now,
said you
not
all
the whole thing.
You said you all. You were only there a day or
I've
two.
I've been south of the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah. I don't know. You maybe still have been north, but you were influenced.
I was influenced.
Yes, you were.
No question about that. So here's the statistic from the Gen 2 survey. And by the way, the Gen 2 conference, Gen 2 Leadership Conference is scheduled for the Creation Museum outside of Cincinnati, January 30th and 31st, and we are excited about that conference. Check it out, gen2conference.com. I think we've got about 35 major leaders from around the country coming. They'll be presenting, and we expect 800 to 1,000 leaders, pastors, homeschool leaders, people interested in the next generation, and we want next generation leaders coming to that conference. We want to see tens of thousands of young people coming out of the Worldview Academy classes, the summits classes, the homeschool living rooms and kitchens around the country, and becoming, hopefully, great Christian leaders rooted in Scripture that will be effective in family, church, and state in the years to come.
Absolutely.
It's a good vision.
Great
That's
vision.
What we're all about. All right, yep. So here's the statistic that I want to
I
reveal.
I can see clearly now.
Here's the statistic from
gone.
Gen 2 survey, and it is this. 57% of those young people, millennials who have been homeschooled, plan to homeschool their own children. 57% retention rate on those who have been homeschooled over 7 years. So this isn't just those who have you know, been there, done that for a year or two.
Right.
These are fairly committed homeschoolers. 57% plan to homeschool their own kids, according to our survey, which pulled out something like 15 to 16,000 data points. And don't forget, we also have a random sampling that we paid for the survey that normalized the data. And I think the 57% is going to be a pretty accurate number, meaning a couple of things. Number one, nobody bats a thousand. There's a major storm running across this deck, and the worldview battle is raging for the hearts and minds of 100 million kids out there. So it's not as if, man, anybody is going to be safe here.
Right.
It turns out the survey compared private, Christian, public, and homeschool and found that homeschoolers tend to stick to a biblical worldview much, much more than the others. But nevertheless, 57%, not bad. Again, homeschooling, not a panacea, but homeschooling is producing something. We're getting some results. Praise God. And as Dr. Ray pointed out to me, 57% is 20 times what you get out of the population out there.
That's Dr. Brian Ray.
Dr. Brian Ray, right?
Yep.
Right. About 2 to 3% of people choose to homeschool their kids. 57% of those kids who've been homeschooled plan to homeschool their kids. That puts us ahead of the game, friends. That means that we're going to have a pretty solid second generation base established from the first 30 years of blood, sweat, and tears put into this movement. We're yielding some good results here, Bill.
Very good.
I think we're looking at between 6.6 and 7.2 million homeschoolers by the year 2025. It's my estimate. Of that, something like 3.5 million are those who have been homeschooled themselves. And that's assuming a fairly constant number for the first generation homeschoolers. All right. So, friends, the movement's grown, and this thing's not going away. Thankfully, there are people who are getting out of the public school monopoly. And again, once you get a public monopoly of the dissemination of ideas in public schools around America, meaning if you can get 97% of the American population plugged into the matrix, then you're controlling the worldview of the next generation of voters and so forth. So what we're saying is if you could get a percent or two or three or four or 5 or 6% out of the matrix, you might have a shot at restoring some kind of liberty in the years to come.
You know, it's much like what happens in a laboratory with rats when they put them in a maze.
Yeah.
You know, they train them to go certain directions.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the illustration I would use of the public school, that these are not, it's not an educational system. It is a conditioning system, and they're conditioning these students just like you condition rats in a maze.
It's a one-size-fits-all worldview. It's materialistic, naturalistic, anti-God for the most part.
They have to think inside the box.
You're not supposed to worship God. Now, as it turns out, home education doesn't necessarily mean that everybody signs up to a biblical worldview.
No.
But it does say that there will be an opportunity for the right worldview to express itself amongst those who are home educated.
You know, when I first considered homeschooling, we just moved out here, and I was trying to persuade my wife, and she was going, I'm not sure about this. I said, hey, there's a homeschool, informational meeting above the fire station in Glendale, Colorado. Okay. I said, let's go. She said, okay. It was February. And when we showed up, the first little kid we saw when we walked in the room was about 2 years old. He was running around barefooted, and he had a rat tail. Okay.
Yeah.
His hair was, you know, cut short except for the long rat tail on the backside.
Yeah.
And my wife kind of looked over at me.
Yeah. And she said, and then, this is what it's all about.
This is what it's all about. Yeah. And then we saw the parent, and we all sat down, you know, in a circle and said, why are you considering homeschooling? And the parent of this child said, well, we're not doing it for religious reasons. We're doing it for philosophical reasons. And he was a refugee from the 60s. And so it was right then that I realized that not all homeschoolers do it because they're Christians. There are people who see that the establishment is not good. And so they are homeschooling for philosophical reasons. So even though homeschooling is associated with a Christian movement, it doesn't necessarily mean that all people involved in homeschooling are Christians.
You've got the unschoolers who may or may not be Christians. You've got sort of the anarchists. You've got the Muslims, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing is for sure. You don't have a one-size-fits-all worldview that is funded by the government.
Right.
And as it intended to keep a particular worldview operating an entire nation for the next 100 years.
Right.
What you get with homeschooling is an opportunity for a worldview discussion and for some who maintain a Christian worldview to stand up in front of a group of 5,000 people and talk about the importance of God as the source of reality, truth, and ethics. And personally, I think that's great. Wow, you don't get that in the public schools these days. Right. So if somebody gets out of the matrix and can talk to 5,000 people up on a hillside somewhere or a conference center somewhere about the right worldview, praise God. I mean, every Christian in America ought to be pleased about that.
Right. And what you get is you get this liberty. You get a freedom of ideas, a freedom of exchange of ideas, and truth will out. If you try to suppress and only indoctrinate, which is what the educational system is doing, they're indoctrinating students into a secular worldview, then there is no liberty, there is no education, it is merely indoctrination.
We like to think about home education as getting out of the box. I was telling you just before the program, three of my children are heading out to Europe for a 1 month hiking across, hiking across Europe and riding trains and getting to know folks and visiting with families, friends of friends of friends we know, all the way across Europe. And they're hitting so many countries, I can't keep track of them. But I was listening to a radio program, Southern LA. I'm trying to think of the guy.
Dennis Prager.
Dennis Prager. That was it. Listen to Dennis Prager about 8 years ago. And Prager's saying, why would anybody want to spend $100,000 on a liberal arts education in your average college in America? Why? And then he says, I think if you could take the $100,000 and fund a trip around the world, you would get a far more productive and helpful and useful
and realistic
education, education than you would get in a four-year college. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. Now, I got a question for you. Are mama and papa a little anxious?
A little bit, yeah. We'll have to pray on this one. Yeah. Trust God. We had a little bit of a discussion on this last night as they're heading out, but they're excited.
That's cool.
This is fun. Wow. I never did this. I had to go to college.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sure many listeners, many moms and pops listening say, that's scary, but it's no more frightening than sending your students off to a secular institution or even a Christian in name only institution where they're indoctrinated. This is what we're talking about. I just saw a movie.
Okay.
It's based on a young adult novel, popular young adult novel. It's called The Maze Runner. It's a series. It's going to be like The Hunger Games. In the novel, the hero, the protagonist, Thomas, wakes up trapped in a massive maze with a group of other boys. No memory of the outside world. All he knows is his name. But he has these strange dreams about this mysterious organization known as W.C.K.
Well, this is a bad organization.
Yeah,
this is a wicked organization. Okay.
And in his dreams,
is there still a true sense of right and wrong?
The movie? It's a sense of what we're talking about, and that is that there's Big Brother who manipulates and suppresses liberty.
1984.
This is
1984 for kids. Uh-huh.
And so the Maze Runner, as you can imagine, is they want to escape the maze. And Thomas leads the way out, and he's trying to find purpose in his life, and he's trying to find hope, and he's trying to find true change. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Which you're not going to get in your average high school biology class.
Exactly.
How do you get purpose?
Or even English
class. In a biology class. Where you are defined as a piece of cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance.
I just at the Alliance meeting, the meeting that you referenced, I was talking to parents, and their son is now in college.
Yeah.
And his English teacher assigned and kept assigning materials, and he's a Marxist. He's a Marxist, and so the student wrote a paper you know, and disassembled the Marxist view and promoted a biblical view. And he took exception with the prof.
Yeah.
And so the parents were going, okay, if you're going to do this, you need to understand the consequences. You get, you know, you're challenging the establishment.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, in this particular case, the professor had enough integrity to recognize that the work that the student produced was excellent, even though he disagreed philosophically.
Yeah.
And so the student, because he took a stand early, it's going to be easier for the student to speak later and again and again. Yeah. But if that student had caved, he would still be in the maze, even though he came out of a homeschool environment. He'd still be in the maze like Thomas in The Maze Runner.
Yep. All right, friends, we got to take a break right now, Bill. But when we get back, we're going to talk about bias. Which bias are you biased by?
The best bias to be biased is biased. Yeah.
It's one of your talks.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that and how it applies to a California charter school. It's banning books, Christian books. Amazing. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future, hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Also, Bill Jack in studio.
Hey, Kevin, you just ended the last segment by saying amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, we're just. Have you been amazed?
Well, most of the culture has been amazed.
They have been amazed.
They've been put in the maze.
They're in the maze.
And yet, homeschoolers are amazed. Ah means not, and so they're out of the maze.
There you go.
There we go. Okay. So we are amazing people.
Apparently so. If we're out of the maze.
Yeah. Apparently.
If you have been amazed, you are out of the maze. Okay, so here's a Fox News story. Todd Starnes. Christian book banning begins. Where do we go from here? It's California charter school. And, you know, you used to think charter schools were more conservative. I did. Charter schools
they had
the
more liberty
the nation. Yeah.
Because they were parent controlled.
Just slightly more liberty.
Yeah.
Slightly more liberty. Probably not the liberty to fear God in the public school classroom. I'm guessing if any teacher in a charter school attempted to worship God or express the fear of God in any way, especially
the charter school would lose its charter.
Say lifting their hands,
right?
You know, and worshiping, maybe falling on the face.
Yeah.
Maybe they were studying the human cell in the biology classroom, and suddenly fell on their face and started crying out, "God, you're beautiful. God, you're wonderful. We praise you now." Be a problem in the charter school.
Yeah. Even if they tried to read McGuffey's readers, in which
that'd
he, yeah.
Probably an issue. That'd
probably be a big issue.
Okay, my friends, so this is what's happening. Pacific Justice Institute is describing what happened at California Charter School. They allege this school removed any book from its library that was either written by a Christian author or had a Christian message. Wow. That's like a complete purge.
That's a library maze right there.
That's a complete purge. According to Brad Dacus, president of the Religious Advocacy Group, it's alarming that a school library would attempt to purge books from religious authors. Indeed, some of the greatest literature of Western civilization comes from the religious authors. Are they going to ban the sermons, speeches, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? That's a good way to put it.
It is a very good way to put it.
You know, because I'm guessing he preached from the Bible a couple of times.
Made reference to it.
Yeah.
Allusions to it.
Yeah. Can you imagine them purging the sermons of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
You know, here's
from a California charter school. Wow, these guys are going nuts.
Here's the interesting thing. You know, you got Thomas Jefferson, who's been labeled an infidel during his lifetime because he cut out all the miracles of the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, the Jeffersonian Bible. But Jefferson is rolling over in his grave at the decision of this library to purge and censor books.
Well, Thomas Jefferson recommended,
yes, he did,
the use of the Bible in Washington, D.C. schools.
Yeah, when he was
early 19th century, yes, right? Yeah. Okay, so, wow, these guys are going the extra mile to get God out. One of the books deemed unacceptable, The Hiding Place. It's a biography, Corrie ten Boom.
So here's what one
of the good guys,
yeah,
in World War II.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're keeping Hitler's Mein Kampf.
Probably are because
he's not a Christian.
Yeah. This school board would be making the Nazis smile.
They would appreciate, yeah, this.
Because they appreciate that The Hiding Place, yeah, anything that, yep, that was against Nazism would be banned.
Yep. Yep. The Nazis are gonna be
in control.
Spiking the ball in the end zone on this one.
Fascists and Nazis. Censorship. This is censorship.
This is a major sweep by this charter school to eliminate the religious viewpoint, Dacus told. Libraries cannot engage in an open purging of books simply because they are of Christian perspective. Well, that's what these public schools are doing, at least in some instances. And, you know, we want to talk about this for just a second. You know, you're always going to be biased. You're always going to be biased.
You're always going to censor.
You know, I taught at a Christian school, taught journalism 1 year. This would have been about 20 years ago. First presentation that I gave was on the issue of bias and worldview. And I said, if you are the editor of a newspaper in Southern Oregon, this is what I was. I was in Southern Oregon at the time. And the Spotted Owl, big deal at that point.
Do they have newspapers up there?
Spotted Owl, they do. Yeah. Spotted Owl has effectively put all of the lumber business out of business in the state of Oregon. There may be a few mills open, but not many. So Oregon is kind of a welfare state, more or less. And so I said, you know what? Every editor of every newspaper in the state of Oregon have a choice as to what to put on the front page of the newspaper in 40-point font as the headlines. They could put something like Spotted Owl run over on Main Street.
Ooh, that'd be a big story.
Tough. Yeah. That'd be a tough story. Whoa, but
poor little Spotted Owl.
Yeah, that could be the major story, or 40 babies killed at the local abortion clinic. So either way, see, and the thing that winds up on the front page of the newspaper will indicate the worldview of the editor who made those decisions.
So what you're saying is that everybody censors.
Sure. Everybody censors. You're censoring all the time. Everybody's got a bias. Just a matter of who gets to be editor.
Which bias is the best bias to be biased by?
That's right.
That's the question.
And more fundamentally, who gets to be editor,
yeah,
and who gets to own a newspaper? My brother owns a newspaper in Oregon, and occasionally he slips a little pro-life thing in here, a little pro-life thing in there, and you know, he's got a little bias going there.
Sure.
And everybody's got a bias. The problem with American news is that the majority of those who edit and those who are publishing and those who are in control of these newspapers and these media outlets have a liberal bias.
You know, it's when you're a journalist, what you do is you try to make sure that news, straight news, appears in the news section and the bias of the newspaper appears on the editorial page. Now, that's a hard thing to do because your bias colors how you report the news, the language you use to describe what is happening in the world. So you can't avoid a bias.
So let me ask you this. If you own Fox News, would you use the byline fair and balanced?
You would hope you could be. The problem is you can't totally be fair and balanced.
You can't.
No.
Because everything filters through a worldview.
Here's what would
be
better.
So what you should say is, you should say something like, this is the right balance. This is the right bias. This is the best bias of them all.
Right.
So that's what I would do. I'd say this is the best bias of them all because it's as best as we can produce it. God's bias.
You know,
you know what I'm saying? If God is the one who's determining which sins are more egregious than others, some sins are, by reason of several aggravations, more heinous in the sight of God than others. If God gets to determine what's right and wrong, and what is worse, and what is worser, and what is better, and what is best.
And worsest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
if God gets to define that,
then
I think we, on this radio program, are attempting the best bias of them all.
And here's what, when I was teaching, I would start off the year by telling students, look, there are two worldviews out there. There's a secular worldview. There's a theistic worldview. I'd give the both of them, and I say, now, look, I have a bias, okay? Everything I'm going to tell you is going to be filtered through this worldview, a theistic worldview, so you need to decide right now whether you're going to accept or reject what I'm about to tell you. That is open disclosure. And every teacher should do that. Every editor should do that. Every librarian should do that and say, here is my worldview, which is a bias, a point of view. And when I approach a topic, it's going to be approached, filtered through this worldview. You need to understand it before you accept or reject what I'm about to tell you.
I think something about the secularists that we need to understand is that secularists are more afraid of Christian books than we are of their non-Christian books.
Yes.
And I want you to feed in on that one for just a second.
Yeah.
Why are the secularists so afraid of having any book in a California charter school that might hint to the fact that Corrie ten Boom was a Christian and saved the lives of hundreds of Jews during the reign of Nazi humanism,
yep,
that is their worldview, over a period of, what, 5, 6, 8 years?
You know,
so why are they so afraid of Corrie ten Boom? Why are they so afraid of us? But we're not all that afraid of them. We're okay with talking about their stuff.
Exactly. You know, they always use terms against Christians like you're closed-minded religious bigots who want to censor ideas. And that those terms are descriptive of their position. I don't want to censor ideas. I want to destroy ideas.
Thank you.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 10, 5 yeah. and 6. Bring them down, baby.
Yeah.
That's my translation.
Yeah.
Bring them down.
It says we are destroying speculations,
That's
ideas.
Right. Destroying them.
Yeah.
Destroying
sloppy
thinking. We're not afraid of our kids entering the junior college down the street.
No.
As long as they're equipped.
Yes.
As long as they understand a biblical worldview and the apologetics associated with it. They go out there. It is our responsibility to tear down ideas and anything that holds itself against the knowledge of God in Christ.
Bad ideas, wherever they're found, should be destroyed.
Bring them down. Bring them down.
Now, that's not censorship. I want to expose bad ideas to the light of truth, test them, and then bring them down, destroy them. The opposition, those in opposition to me, want to suppress ideas. Anytime you suppress an idea, it merely causes it to flourish. What happened in the persecution of Christians in the first century? It made it flourish. Christians need to realize we don't suppress, we destroy. We're on a search and destroy mission. We want to destroy ideas, not people. Now, here's what's happening in California. They're trying to suppress ideas and destroy people. I want to destroy ideas and uplift people by proclaiming truth.
If you can't argue with, if you can't address the arguments, here's what you do. You try to ignore them. You bury them under the ground. You ban the books. You censor.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing here in the California
charter
school.
That's censorship. That is raw censorship.
Yep.
Of the worst kind. Now, everybody censors. Your budget as a librarian causes you to have to censor. You can't buy everything. You can't put everything in the library. So what you need to do is put what is according to Philippians, what is pure, righteous, what is worthy of contemplation, what is good educationally. So you're not going to put trash in. You're not going to put pornography in the library. You shouldn't.
You know what's interesting is there are foreign nations like Indonesia that invite Christians to public schools there,
right,
to talk the message.
I was invited in Romania after Ceausescu fell to
it's
speak
amazing.
In the public school.
It's amazing. But why in America is there such a tremendous animosity towards Christianity and Jesus Christ? I suggest to you it's because America has turned into an apostate nation. They've known something about Christ. They take his name in vain. And they do everything they can to purge him from the public schools. And I've explained why they do this in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. You want to understand the reasons for the animosity against Christianity in public schools? Get my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West.
And that's what they're doing with this movie, Maze Runner. They're showing that the system is wicked, but wicked, according to them, is good, and it suppresses the youth and puts them in chains and puts them in the maze.
Yeah.
And we got to get them out of the maze And parents need to get their kids out of the maze by proclaiming truth and grace and homeschooling them, unplugged from the system.
And ultimately, if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. That's the ultimate freedom. The ultimate freedom is the freedom from sin.
That's amazing.
And that comes at the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast with myself, Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack, also with me today. And if you have anything to add, any questions, please just email us at host@kevinswanson.com and grab a copy of my book, Apostate, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.